Think about the strategies that these guys were going through. You know, I watch a lot of History Channel, and they show things about Hannibal and Alexander and how they had these, just at the time, seemed like these crazy strategies, but their strategies would work and they would win because they had done something that would catch the enemy off guard, or they did some kind of special defensive maneuver that would protect them during battle. And in Ephesians, this part of Ephesians is telling us we have to be prepared for this fight. You know, not this physical fight, but like a spiritual fight. You know, we all have these times where we may be struggling spiritual and wonder, how do we defend against this? How do I fight back against these difficulties that I'm faced? And we just don't know what to do sometimes. So it seems like, you know, we have this spiritual darkness that's entering our lives, and we want to get away from it, but we forget sometimes that the Bible, in this chapter of Ephesians, gives us the answer to that. It's one thing we have to remember. The Bible is going to have your answer that you need. And in this case, it's how to protect against these times that you may face. And the armor of God, it's not necessarily a physical armor. It is when you learn it in children's school. They give you each little piece and tell you what it is. That was always fun. I don't know if y'all did that when y'all were little, but we'd be able to put the little plastic helmets in the shield zone. That was a lot of fun. But it's not a physical armor. It's a specific way to live our lives, to be prepared to live our lives faithfully for God. You know, there's a list. It's the belt of truth, which is the truth of the gospel to be sent out. It covers your head because we know it's the truth, and we want to recognize that. Then you have the breastplate of righteousness, to protect your heart in times that you need to protect your heart. Because we all know that there's times where that's very hard for us to do. But if you have that, if you're covered with that righteousness and you remember that, you're able to fight back in those areas. Or the shoes of the gospel. It's the gospel of peace. The gospel is with us. It's interesting that they picked shoes, because what do you do with shoes? You walk, you go. And when you go, and you also can stand firm in your shoes that are barefoot, but you take it with you everywhere you go. You take the gospel with you everywhere you go in this community. And just like that song, the God of this city, that's what we're here. That's not just a generic city. When we sing that, we're singing about the Pensacola area. He is the God of this city. And we must remember that and take that gospel shoes with us everywhere we go. But today, I want to focus on the shield of faith, and how that is so significant to us, and how important it is for us to be able to defend our faith, but also be able to defend against the fiery arrows of the evil one. And back in the Roman times, if you've ever seen a movie or anything, history or whatever, they had these shields. And they could link them together. They could put them together and form this, like, called a phalanx. And they would be able to just hold anything back they wanted to, almost. So it was almost impenetrable. And some of them would put it over their heads. Why were they putting it over their heads? To distinguish the fiery arrows that their enemy would shoot at them. That's why Paul uses these examples, because it was an image of these Roman soldiers that everyone was familiar with at the time. And what they would do is they had these wooden and leather shields, and before they went into battle, they would douse them in water. Why'd they douse them in water? Well, when that fiery arrow would hit it, it wouldn't burn. It would extinguish, or it would just go out. And that's why Paul mentions extinguishing the fiery arrows of the evil one. And that's what that shield of faith does. It can defend against those fiery arrows, just like there. And we have, as Christians, we have the shield of faith. We don't have a physical shield, but we have the shield of faith. But what kind of faith can be a shield? In Hebrews 11:1, it gives a good definition of what that can be for us. It says, faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. So what does it mean? It means we're hopeful and confident that God is moving in our lives. He's moving in our lives and in the lives of those around us, even when we face tough circumstances. But we're also assured that even though we don't see God, we don't see how God is moving, we know that in our faith, he will work things out. Even if it's not the way we want it to, he is constantly working in our lives. You know, some people are skeptical of faith. They don't know if I even have faith. But I'm going to tell you right now, every single person in here and anybody here and anybody anywhere has faith. You ever got on an airplane before? You got faith that that airplane's going to fly, right? You got faith that that pilot is ready to fly. He's had his training. You have faith. You don't ask that. Well, maybe some people do. I have. Or like when you get on an elevator or something, you're like, you never think, oh, well, is the cord frayed? Is it going to fall? I think that. Maybe I'm weird, but we have faith. Most of you don't think about these things. You have faith that it's going to work. These brand new chairs, you have faith that it wasn't going to fall when you sat in it, right? So everyone has some evidence of faith in their life, but as a Christian, sometimes we can see that it's so hard to have this faith and trust in God. And why is that? If we can trust something simple as an elevator, we should be able to trust. We should be able to trust in God as well. And that's why it's important for us to look to the scriptures in times where we may be lacking faith or times we want to build our faith. There's examples of it all throughout the scriptures. Think about Abraham. God told Abraham, promised him he would have a son. And that son didn't come along until he was later in life. He even kind of didn't believe God and went and had another kid. But when Isaac came, when he got older, God said, take him to the mountaintop and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham didn't. He might have questioned it a little bit, but you know what he did? He did it. He did it. He went up there. And just as he was about to do that, God stopped him. Said he had this faith, had so much faith in God that he would even do that. Give up that promised child that God had promised him. The best thing about it is because of Abraham's faithfulness, God also provided a ram for them to sacrifice to commemorate that moment after that. You know, from the beginning of time, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them, they had no idea what was going to happen in their life. Job, Jonah, you name it. They had no idea what was going to happen in their life. When they were faced with difficulties, all they knew that God was good and God was faithful, even in the face of difficult circumstances. Joseph, that's a really good example of it. He was in prison. His brothers had thrown him to the wayside, sold him into slavery, but he had faith that God was going to be faithful to him. If you ever read the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, it's like some people call it the Hall of Fame of Bible characters, of Old Testament, and it is. It lists so many of them, but it's really a list to encourage us in faith. Each one of those people had an amazing faith story that they couldn't have done if they did not trust God. We all know people in this room, and there's people we know that aren't here today that have these amazing faith stories that they just, in the worst circumstances, they stood strong and stood firm through it, and at the end, they came out faithful to God and were blessed because of it, even in difficult times. You know, our faith is a stronger faith if we leave it, let God define it. You know, we all have this individual faith, right? Individual faith, at the end of the day, that faith's what saves us, right? That's what the Bible says. Our individual faith is what saves us. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says that we live by faith, not by sight. That's a key verse because it kind of plays into that Hebrews verse, you know? We have faith in things unseen. Why? Because we know God has worked in the past. He will work today, and he will work tomorrow as well. If you live by sight, you can lose hope. Think, just look at the news. Go read the news. It's just tragedies everywhere. And if that's all you see, and that's all you live by that sight and not that faith, then you can get hopeless. You can get desperate because our world is desperate, and our world is hopeless. But good news is God can give us that hope that we need. If we just look past those things, acknowledge them, but look past them and see that God is trustworthy. God is faithful. God will get people through these hard times. And even if the ending on this earth is bad, we know at the other end that they will be with him forever. We know that God is trustworthy. Now, in the Bible, some people were like, well, why does all this stuff happen to good people? Why doesn't it happen to bad people? Well, the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust equally. Like if you walked outside, if everybody had no roof and it rained, everybody gets rained on, not just the bad people, not just the good people, everyone. And the point is that suffering is going to happen. It's going to happen. And faith doesn't make that suffering necessarily disappear. But it does give us hope to get through it. Faith doesn't guarantee that we will be wealthy. Some people think that if they're faithful, then they're going to be rich. But it doesn't. It doesn't guarantee that. But what it does guarantee is that we'll be rich in God. We will have the richness of God's mercy and love in our lives. There's a few things that faith doesn't do. But what does faith do? Faith does save us from all despair, all discouragement, all hopelessness. And most importantly, faith saves us from death. Faith in Christ makes us justified in God's eyes through Christ's work on the cross. Something we have to remember. I think sometimes we can lose sight of that. We can just think about having to just live in our lives in the best way possible. Maybe we should live our lives as faithful as possible and let God do the rest. And that's something that we can do if we are firmly planted in our feet. And if we're firmly planted with that shield in defense of those fiery arrows that come our way, whatever they may be. Because they can come in many forms. It can be illness. It can be a tragedy. It can be just mental conditions that we may go through. But that shield of faith will protect us when those times come where we really, really need to dig in and stand firm. You know, these Roman soldiers, I was saying earlier, what they would do, they would link these shields up. They had these little deals on the side, and they could link them together. And so when people would run at them, they couldn't get through it, and they'd have some over them. And with the shields over them, they couldn't shoot arrows in. If they could, but it was very hard. In other words, they were protecting each other as a unit. They had faith that their strategy was going to work. And in the Christian life, we have to be very similar, that a faith is not strictly individual, but it is a community faith. Each one of us have our individual faith that saves us, but as a body of Christ, we have that faith together to stand together, stand one alongside with one another, linking up our shields to be able to support one another when the times come that we need it the most. Because we're called to be a community of faith, a faith that can also send us forward together, not alone. If you've ever seen any of the movies, they move together in a unit with the shields. And that's how we, as a faith, we must protect each other. And when someone is maybe struggling in their faith, and maybe having a difficulty, we're linked together to be able to support one another in those times. But our faith also sends us out. And when you advance the faith in that full armor of God with your shield out and your feet and you're standing firm, we're taking that message of faith to others, because the message of faith is life-saving. Everyone that calls Christ Lord knows that. It is life-saving. And Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Trusting with the heart leads to righteousness, and confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. And as we take that message forward to give it to people that don't know that or don't understand it, they know they need something. But as we advance and stand firm in our faith, we can take that message to others so that they may see who God is, or that they may call him Lord and answer just as Romans says, confessing with their mouth, knowing in their heart, trusting that God and Jesus is who he says he is. And we need to be carrying together to support one another, because outsiders can see that, right? If they see that, then they know there's something different about this group of people. I'm sure back in the Roman days, if some people that were disorganized tried to attack those Roman soldiers and they saw them, they were probably fearful. But some of them probably ended up being placed into the army, and they got to be a part of that community to be able to have that person along your side to be able to support you in your difficulties. You know, we have to hold together one another. Reminds me of this in the movie Gladiator, and in one of the scenes, Maximus, he's been put into the gladiatorial pits. He was a general, and now he's been thrown in here as a slave to the emperor. And he's in there, and they wanted him to die because people liked him so much. But he got the ragtag band of people to have faith in him, and they did all these maneuvers that the Roman soldiers would do, and they got out of that situation, and they won this battle that they weren't supposed to win because it was supposed to be some reenactment. But they did it because they were together and they trusted one another, and they trusted each other enough that their plan would work. And we, you know, we are better together. In that movie, there's also one guy that decided he wasn't going to listen to him. He was going to do his own thing, and it didn't work out too well for him. And that's how we have to stand as a unit, as one community of faith, knowing that our faith in Christ saves us, but it also can save other people. And if we do that together, we can see many other people come to that faith. But God, we pray this morning, Lord, that sometimes we know we may lack faith. We may be going through difficult times. I pray we would remember this segment of Ephesians and remember that if we come together, if we rely on you, if we have our faith in you and not in this world, if our faith is in God and the unseen workings of how you are working all things out in our lives, and not by the sight that we see, and we understand that you are always working, God, even when we're facing these hard times, that we can stand together, support one another through prayers, by staying alert and sharing with one another when we need to be sharing, so that we can be the proper ambassadors to Christ that you've called us to do, by putting on the full armor of God, not just one piece, but all of it. And then if we can function as a community that is one, as you've called us to do, then we'll see lives changed, God. And I pray that we would be able to do that and see those lives changed, that our faith would be strong no matter what, God. In your name I pray. Amen.